On this episode of the No Chill Podcast, we have another lab session with Agent Zero. This time with two hoopers who you should absolutely have on your radar. Fresh off a Final Four run with the University of Houston, AAC Conference Player of the Year, Quentin Grimes is heading to the league and rising up draft boards. His training partner, a lefty bucket getter from Mississippi State, DJ Stewart, is quickly moving from under the radar to head turner. As part of their draft prep, the two have paired to train together and made their way to LA to get some time with Coach Arenas. For Gil, beyond the evaluation and the skill work, he wanted to see where their heads were at. It's not a question of how, it's when. So many prospects go through the process, so Gil's approach is to have an approach. Don't be cookie cutter unless you're a cookie cutter player. And these two are far too dynamic and gifted to do anything but shine as pros. So get to know Quentin Grimes and DJ Stewart before they make the leap. It's the No Chill Podcast. Remember, subscribe wherever you get your podcast to get every episode as soon as they drop. Don't forget to check out the No Chill channel on YouTube. And don't forget, every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern, it's No Chill with Gilbert Arenas on the Fubo Sports Network. Welcome to No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. I'm Mike Botticello. On that end of the couch right there, got Gilbert Arenas.
What's happening?
Coming this way, Quentin Grimes.
Oh, I'm really like,
yeah, you.
I thought you like saying like,
so it's like, bang.
I thought you introducing everybody. Yo, hit it on.
We went from like first gear to fifth gear right there. So there is that too.
Right.
And DJ Stewart.
What's up?
Gil, you've been in the lab with these guys. They're all the way from, well, we're say the South. We got Texas and Mississippi in the house out here in LA. We're leading up to the draft. You guys coming out of school. And, you know, firsthand, you saw what we're working with.
Uh-huh. You know, you have both are very skilled, raw. Still trying to define, you know, what type of player he wants to be. You're pushing back to the one because that's what you were in high school.
Yeah.
That was my problem coming into the NBA because I was a one all through high school. Went to college, had to play two because I had the smaller guard.
Yeah, for sure.
And then coming back to the NBA and like, this is my true position. So, you know, so I know your mindset, you know, so it's like one of those things where you're just trying to, you know, define what your skill is that you want to go into your first season with.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
I mean, you say DJ's raw. I think DJ has what you wish you had as a player.
Oh, yeah. I have none of that raw athleticism.
We call that bounce.
That bounce, know, yeah. Just... But, that's what you call raw because, you know, you have the tangibles, you know, long arms, bouncy, you know, light on his feet, you know, still got the, you know, still defining his skills. So, you know, those players can go from being the one, two, or three, you know, depending on, you know, where you get drafted. And, you know, if that coaching staff is willing to, you know, put the time in to pull out what they want from you. You know, so that's why I said it's more, you know, raw. We can see one, you know, he's going to be 1-2, majority one, because that's where he's going to be dominant at that one position because he's bigger than everyone.
And we'll get to your evaluations in a minute, but we want to start to where you guys come from. And, well, the reason you're both here together is because you've been training together. Yeah. You guys both were ISC, but now you're connected, which is going to be a cool thing to watch, you know, as the years go by, where this all started, like this moment. You know, you have this foundation and this bond now, but you're from Houston. Mm-hmm. Houston is on the map. Texas is a football state, but that's changing, right?
For sure.
Like it's a hoop city in Houston.
Definitely.
Now.
Yeah, coming up in Texas, like everybody knows it's kind of a football state. Everybody knows like they put so much money into football, high school football and everything. And I feel like towards like 2015, we had like the Harrison twins that was blowing up, Fox and them. You kind of seen like the ball like mixtape coming out. And just everybody had mixes. I was starting to get a little pub and everything. And then, like, just kind of blew it from there. The football aspect was kind of coming down. Everybody want to go to the Friday night basketball game. They ain't trying to go to the football game. They want to see who the coldest hooper is. So I feel like once, like, the Harrison twins kind of, like, implanted that in Houston, they kind of just took off. And Texas and Dallas started getting big. And the DFW, them hoopers started coming out. Julius Randle and all them coming out of high school. And as you're kind of trying to change the narrative from football to kind of Texas really not a basketball state, really. That's kind of how all that started.
And we know about Houston. What we don't know about is Grace, Mississippi. So, I mean, you heard this right. 30 people in the town, Gil.
30. He said 18.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's not.
Because he left.
I mean.
So you gotta, he left, so someone.
You got to take one more.
You got to take one off.
So a 30 at most, right? Yeah, but you're coming from a definition of a small town, right? So what the biggest thing for you to do is get recognized. How did how did you do that?
It was, I want to say, my 11th grade year going into my 12th, and I had to make a decision. I was playing with Jackson Tigers, and they wasn't on the EYBL circuit, and Amiibo was on the EYBL circuit. But I was playing with Jackson Tiger the whole time, and I'm, like, big on loyalty. But I had to make the right choice. Mm-hmm. But I went to play with Amiibo on the EYBL circuit and blew up that summer.
But, I mean, even coming out of a small town, what's going to naturally happen is a culture shock. You know, and but basketball can do that because it's going to take you, I mean, you know this, it take you all over the world. How do you transition your game there, you know, let alone your, you know, just as a young hooper?
Working, man. Like, when I was coming up, like, I wasn't even, like, working out. And it was just, like, God-given talent. And then I started grinding. I had a high school coach that came from, first off, we was going to a school in Glen Allen. Like, it's, like, 5 minutes outside of Grace, and it burned down. We had to go to a school at Riverside. It was like 20 minutes away. It's like an all-white school. And then we went up there. Then we ended up getting a good coach because it seemed that we had like athletes from like where we were from. So then he had introduced me to the grind. And I started getting results, then I fell in love with it.
But 18 to 30 people in the city.
On that.
How many basketball players then? Man, one, two,
it's the fullest. But you know what I'm saying? Most of them like don't make it out because of like where we're from.
Because I'm saying, like, you know, in a small city like that, what are you watching? Where's the training coming from? Where's the inspiration?
Yeah, like just wanting better, you know? Just from being in Grace and seeing like the situation that we're in, just wanting better for myself and my family.
Okay.
But really, it takes you gotta have a coach that finds you when you're raw.
Right.
And really, like, in the middle of nowhere.
I'm just saying,
it takes a coach, there, right?
That's not even an apartment building.
Yeah, I mean, and then just what you have with skills. Like, the truth is now, if you have skills, somebody will find you.
Right. Yeah, that's the benefit of, you know, the internet now. It's no matter where you are, as long as you can hoop, someone's going to see you. I'm from the Valley. I'm from here. And this is a big place. Yeah. This is a really big place. And we wasn't seen. Like, there was no, you know, there was no TV, there was no Instagram, there was no Google. You can Google, see who players are. Nah, you had to, like when you went on a circuit, that's when you actually seen a person.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's old boy that everybody was talking about. Like, or you heard the name and didn't even know the face, and then you get around, everybody's watching, and be like, oh, that's that person. Like, oh, dang, for real? Yeah. Like, you know, there's half the kids in my draft class that I didn't even know was in my high school class.
Yeah.
That I'd never even seen. Like, it was, you know, I'd never, because they didn't come west. That's, you know, because if they didn't come west coast, you know, I wasn't good enough to go east coast.
Right.
You know, I didn't go to Peach Jam back then and all those Boo Williams and all that stuff. So, you know, so unless they came here and played in like the Pump Tournament or I see them in Vegas, I really didn't get to see half these kids. Yeah. You know, so that's the benefit you guys got. You guys get to actually watch the talent and see and train and look and see who's developing this, and I can, you know, work on my,
right,
you know, my craft. Back then, nah, there was none of that.
But, you know, even Houston and LA, big cities, right? There's parts of Houston that people don't really know about, like in LA, where you guys are in LA right now, but we're in the Valley, which is not the part of LA that most people are in, you know, so it's a lot quieter out here. But in a city like Houston, it works that way too, especially when it's a football state. So the route that you took too, you were on the Mr. Basketball in Texas, on the radar, we'll say, and then you go a year at Kansas, then you go to Houston, which is basically going home, right?
Right, for sure.
And just the transfer decision that you made, what were the benefits of that?
Yeah, just going back, I knew I wanted to kind of get back to like my natural position, kind of had a ball more in my hands, whatever. And then when I decided to go back to Houston, I was watching him in the NCAA tournament, play Kentucky. And then I was out in pre-draft because I decided to test the water my freshman year. And I was out at Arizona State working out in Phoenix. And I knew James because he's from Houston. Well, he's not from Houston, but played with the Rockets. Mm-hmm. So we kind of got a little relationship when I was in high school. And Coach Sampson was talking to me, recruiting me and everything. And Harden was like, nah, he gonna let you rock out. He gonna let you, he a player's coach. He gonna be hard on you, but he gonna let you rock out. And I was like, once I heard that, it was like, nah, that's where I need to be for sure. So once he said that, he kind of just confirmed everything. And Coach Sampson, one of the hardest coaches on you every day. Well, I think one game I had like 30. The next day I'm running suicides and everything. So it's like he gonna hold you to a standard you can't hold yourself to. So just making that decision to go back home, it was just easy because I had my whole family support system playing in front of the hometown fans. So that made it a real easy decision for sure.
And that thing, what you just said, that player's coach is really the thing to find. And yeah. Even, you know, come Team USA and playing at that level, you know your game. Yeah. You just got to have the right coach that recognizes that and lets that shine.
Yeah, coaches is the most important. Like when kids ask me about colleges, I say, whatever college fits your style, your style of play. You got names, but it's your style of play. Because if you take your name and you get put in a situation where they don't like how you play, it hurts your development. It hurts your skill. It hurts your chances. So, you know, I'd rather pick a school that's benefit to, that's going to let me do whatever I want, smaller. But shit, smaller school with a smaller name, but I'm averaging 35. Trust me, you're going to find me. You're going to find me. So it's, you know, it's just whatever system fits how you play is usually the best system versus, you know, the name of the school. Yeah.
And then what you guys, the run to the Final Four this year.
Yeah,
it worked.
Coming in, we had that's Coach Sam. He wants to win. That was his goal. He wanted to get back. On staff, had Coach Quanis and Coach Hollis Price, and they were on his team at Oklahoma when they went to the Final Four, and that's all they talk about. Every day we want to get back. They're like, y'all ain't done this, so y'all better listen to what we talking about because y'all trying to get where we at. Mm-hmm. So just hearing that every day in practice, it just kind of pushes us, our teammates, just trying to get to where they were because you got them. They kind of got an edge over you because they went to the Final Four. You haven't, so like, nah, I ain't finna let them hold that over my head the whole time I'm in college. So like this year, that was our just main goal, Final Four, and just kind of coming in every day with that mindset. Even though practice might be 3 hours, we still trying to get to that Final Four. So I feel like we never lost sight of that. And just going every day with that mindset kind of helped us push each other to get to the Final Four this year.
Would you say the same thing for the Final Four in your experience?
We're talking about getting to the Final Four?
Yeah.
No. We was better than them, so we was, it was just championship talk.
You know? It's different when you have all eyes on you, right?
It was championship talk. We, you know, it was like getting, nah, it was championship.
We're not going to talk about how it ended. I'm not even talking about you, so I'm talking about
Arizona. We're just talking about the chip, you know, the whole time. Like, you know.
Yeah, lost the championship?
Yeah.
So who?
We got cheated, Duke. We got cheated.
It was a long time ago, but he's still salty about it. The losses didn't go away. But yeah, just what you guys accomplished, you know, putting Houston back on your home city, putting the school back on the map. And, you know, what school can do for you, we're seeing it prepares you. Really, that's the best thing to do is no matter where you come from, you embrace the time that you're there because you know it's going to get me to the next level. Right. It's just a, you know, stopping point. Yeah. But, you know, you go over in the SEC, a lot of athletes there. The SEC has come up a lot in basketball and, you know, just Mississippi State in general, that football school. We're talking about football, you know, parts of the country that you're in. But what did Mississippi State do for you in your game?
Choosing Mississippi State, you know, I was big on, like, from being in Grace, I'm like, oh, I got to get out of Mississippi. I got to go play somewhere on a big stage. But then the whole time, Mississippi State was, like, there the whole time, like, recruit me hard. Like, they was on me every day. Like, other schools was, you know what I'm saying, they was hitting me up. But
you're in your backyard.
Right. So it really made sense for me to go there. And their developmental is, you know what I'm saying, helped me become a better person on and off the court. You know what I'm saying, like, learning how to, you know what I'm saying, be a better person, you know what I'm saying, become a better ball player, but, you know what I'm saying.
It's real.
Yeah.
I mean, think
Mississippi
about
State. What color are you guys? What's that jersey? Because I swear to God, we beat the shit out of the Mississippi State.
I was wondering what you were
saying. I'm just saying, it was like one of those schools you just beat the shit out of all the time. But I don't know.
But think about that. But really, really just, what we're saying here, Gil, huh? What do you think about this? That we're saying that the school can do a lot for you as a player and get you to another level. Yeah. But as a player, you do a lot for the school. Yeah. In both situations for you guys were schools that you're not thinking of basketball first, really. And what you guys accomplish in your time there, you're helping putting that school on the map. Mm-hmm.
It's what the school allows you to do. Yeah. You know, like, you know, like James Harden gets you to go there because, oh, he's going to let you rock.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Then, you know, some kids who's like looking, they looking at you like, yeah, I play like him. I'm gonna go there too, because how he turned out, that's how I turned out. But that's more of a recruiting tool than anything.
No, for sure.
You know, anything you do, you're just watching players on how they rocked out there. Like, oh, I'm gonna go there. That's the type of player I am. You know, they let him rock, so they'll let me rock. Right. You know, so it's like what you do in college sometimes in situations other people actually be looking at.
No, for sure. All right, that's all good, Gil. That's nice. But here we are now, and you spent time in the gym with these guys. You saw what you saw. So what's your evaluation? We can start with Quinn.
You know, it's not an evaluation. It's more like enjoy the process. Understand what you're doing it for. Yeah. You know, this is it. There's no school. And I mean, there's no more school. This is the level. This is the level.
The real world now.
But this is it. There's no... there's no other level after this. Yeah, this is it. So... here, when you're at this NBA level, it's about details, you know, process and everything. Everything you've learned growing up, adapting, you know, studying, now it's all here.
Yeah.
You know, so as much as you're using athleticism, you have to use this. Right. You know what I mean? Like, you have to study, like, you know, like learning what the opponents do, learning what your own teammates do. Because you got to remember, when you're coming into a situation, like, you are the new guy, right? So you have to learn a lot faster. Because you got to remember, you're not programmed yet. You're not programmed to that system. You know what I mean? Like, when players come in, if you see someone working out, they're working out for how they get the ball.
Yeah.
You know, right? So you're coming in wild. And it's either you let them tame you or you change the way things move.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, okay, coach will be like, all right, I need to put some plays in for his style versus you're going to fit in and you're going to do it this way.
Yeah.
So you have to learn your players, like, where they like the ball, where they don't like the ball, where they can't go, where they can go, what's their habits. So you have to do a lot of watching, learning, you know, jotting down, taking notes, and, you know, just preparing. You know, preparing for each matchup, every matchup. You know what I mean? You know, the NBA is no different than any level. You got the bottom feeding teams. But you got to remember, these still are NBA players.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got the number 15 player, you know, all that stuff, but he's still an NBA player. So, you know, it's like, so a guy you think that you watch on TV is sorry, will give you 20, 30.
Easily.
You know what I mean? So, you know, you have to really prepare each and every night. It's a different battle. One's a physical battle, one's a mental battle. When you need both. You know what I mean? So that's this level you're going to, is that, you know, you have 82 games and you have to try to figure out how to be great at least 75.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At least 75. You know, that's just from physical, mentally, like your shot might be off, but you rebound and still, like, you know, you got 75 games. That's where the elite lives.
Yeah. What do you think about this too, Gil? What you just said is, everybody gets there, they have their story, they got their resume, but that doesn't matter. When you're a pro now, we're all on the same level. So the cream rises to the top.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, I really, like, you know, going through the draft, you know, what they expected, what they want me to do, you know, like, I tried out for 17 teams, killed all 17 teams and still went 30, 32.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm busting, you know, lottery picks ass. Like, yo, I'm good. I really believe that I was the number one pick. No, I really believe that I'm him. I'm top five for sure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's not how it works. You know what I mean? You know, it's still this is still a political part of it. You know, the draft method is still political. Once you get drafted, that's game time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now that number one pick, yeah, I'm going to see you when we play each other. You know what I mean? I'm going to be training for you, you know, and when you get your shot, you are prepared.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, these guys, you know, number one, number two picks, you know, they get the chance early.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing that some kids can't, you know, they got to wait 2-3 years. You just can't get discouraged. You know what I mean? You still got to walk into every day getting better, understanding, like, learning from the pros, learning from, like I had to learn how to watch the game, you know, sitting on the bench different. Like, at first, I was just a fan enjoying it. Like, oh, my God, I got this God, you know, is that Kobe and Kobe, Lisa Leslie over there? You know, that's how I was watching it at first.
Yeah.
Then I started, you know, sitting there and, like, now I'm watching it different. Like, oh, he don't like to go left. Okay, he can't shoot going that way. He don't do step. Like, you start to pick. So when you get to see this person, he ain't the superstar in your mind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's a regular ass person. I know all of his flaws now because I done studied every little piece of him.
Yeah.
And then from there, once you learn someone's flaws, it becomes easier.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I said, like, when people's like, man, how'd you score 60 on Kobe? Well, I knew what he couldn't do. I knew what he couldn't do on defense, and I just attacked that. Yeah, so yeah, he's great to these guys, but because I knew what he couldn't do, because I studied him, I studied him every year, watched what he trained on, watched what he was lacking, and then I just used that to my advantage.
But that's what you gotta do. Everyone recognizes what they can do and what you're great at and what makes highlights, but look at what they can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And find a weakness. Yeah. Everyone's got one.
Everyone has one. Everyone, like, that's what I say, everyone. Like you would think, like, you just look at these guys, you know, Kevin Durant, Kyrie, Steph, and we watch the shots being made, you know what I mean? But you gotta remember, when the pressure's on, they go to what they're comfortable with.
Yeah.
So you watch what they're comfortable with. Like, you watch, and then you be like, all right, what gets them uncomfortable? So now it's like so when you know, like, all right, they're down three, you already know the move Steph is gonna go to. So you're prepared for it now versus just playing them straight up and he does the pick and roll, snap back, you know, fake, hezzy, step back, three. Like, oh no, I know what he's trying to do. Yeah. So I know how to push him a different way. So those are the games you gotta play at the next level.
No.
And Gil says that, but let's hear from you guys. But are you already doing that actually? Looking for weaknesses in your opponent and coming in prepared? Like, I gotta think you didn't get to this point, and this isn't new information.
Hell no, he not.
Okay. we kind of did that in like college with like Coach Sam, like before, like scouting report, we got like not before, and you go through the matchup and everything, but it's kind of like a test. You gotta write everything about them, what they don't like to do. Sometimes the whoever scouted it for that coach, he might be like, all right, you go up there, but even though it's not your player, mm-hmm. like, he might pick a big for me. You gotta scout everything that he don't like to do, what he do like to do. So I feel like not to the extent like as a player, but like kind of started off in college, and I feel like you definitely gotta have in the league because mm-hmm. you gotta take it to the next level for sure. But kind of started off a little bit in college, a little bit with scouting reports and all that.
But then you also see how they react to you. Don't forget that. So when you're in that gladiator pit, and he's in you, you're gonna test your opponent. Mm. That's the other way to go at it.
Yeah.
So yeah, you study them, but they gotta study you too and see what they know about you.
Right. That's why you always got to keep working on your game. Like you said last night at the gym, always adding stuff every summer.
Yeah, keep working on your game. It's like when training, like, you know, like most of the trainers now, right? No knock on them. But because they've never actually made it to the next level, most of them,
yeah.
They don't really know how to train. Like, they don't know how to, like, really, like, mimic what you actually go through. So, you know, it's like, you know, a summer comes and you guys are just training. Like, okay, we work two hours and woo, we got a good workout. But did that 2 hours actually get you better?
Work on what you need to work.
You know, because I remember you remember Josh Hart, right? He said Luke Walton told him, hey, you know, we're gonna put you in pick and rolls and do this and do that, right? He spent the whole summer pick and roll and understanding his angles. Luke Walton gets fired. Vogel comes in. What was it, Vogel?
Mm-hmm. Frank Vogel.
Yeah, comes in. Now he's a corner guy. And he's like, well, damn, I didn't work on no corner shots. So technically, that was a wasted summer for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like you still got to understand the offense, right? And that's why I said, like, once you get to that level, it's more of offensive training,
yeah.
like understanding your role in the offense or the role you're trying to get to really, you know, train and define and, you know, understand. That's why I said it's one of those things where it's more understanding as quick as possible. You know, and you're just trying to put your will on the game and understand what you can do, what your strength. Like, even in practice, like, you have plays, and then you have your plays that make you successful. Right. So you still got to do what your plays are so they can add those plays right. into the offense.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's why you can say, like, all right, James Harden just got traded. And then he first night, he has 40. And like, how? He don't even know the offense. No. He knows offense, but he put his offense in and said, y'all figure me out. Right. And then next practice, we'll figure something out. And that's how you do it. Instead of him going in and saying, all right, man, what's the offense? Oh, I'm going to be in a corner. Like, no. Give me the ball. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Yeah. And y'all going to adjust to me.
Figure it out. Yeah. Fly.
But every team has needs. So you know what you are as a player, and you can say, well, they don't.
Every team has needs, but they don't know. They don't really know.
What does that mean?
They don't really know.
Know what? What does that mean?
They don't really know what they need until it's there. Like they think they know. They think they, I want this, but they really need this. But they don't know. They're not that smart.
So okay, maybe you're still, you heard that from him. But
I'm just saying.
But you want to be able to do more than what they're asking you. Is that what you're saying?
Do you.
Yeah.
Do you. That's like, you got to do you. Like, I've seen players, like a coach needs we need defense. Yeah. You know, we need to make some stops. And then they put a guy out there who averages 4 points, 2 assists, 0 rebounds, 5 fouls. And it's like, okay, technically, what was he on the court for? Yeah. Like, what did he actually do besides waste a position? Like, you know what I mean? And then that's when you be like, hey, listen, my offense is my defense. If I get this guy in foul trouble, he's out of the game. That's fucking great defense right there, you know, versus someone who's not going to score and who's technically not going to stop the other player.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what coaches think they need sometimes. You have to just put your will on the game. Like, that's the most important thing. Like, do what you do. Like, you know, like, there's no such thing as patent. No such thing as patent stats. It's a made up thing. It's a made up thing. Like Westbrook, if he can go and get 20 rebounds, go get 20 rebounds. Yeah. What you saving the rest of them for? Like, if you can get 20 rebounds, get 20 rebounds. You know, if you guys want something, beat me to it. That's how it's supposed to be. Do what you do to the extreme. You know, like, you let the coaches know what they want. You want this,
yeah.
All right? And I'm going to give you all of it.
Also, this is an offensive-minded player, so remember that. But am I wrong?
That was a defensive-minded player, bro.
Never heard anybody say that about you, but
I had to understand the defense for me to be an offensive player.
Okay. But the other thing too is if they have you for one specific reason where you're saying, okay, check that box off, but I'm going to do more. Don't limit me. Don't put me in a box.
Practice is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Like, I remember Tony Bland, high school player. He was number one point guard. It was my senior. And he was like, wherever you go, do what you do in practice. Be as wild as you can possibly be in practice. Because you need the coach to understand what you do. So when he puts you in the game, he knows exactly what he's putting in the game, right? Versus you playing this like, oh, he wants me to do this and do this. And then you put you in a game and then your game time game comes in. Now you want to go on a fast break, throw it between the legs and do all this. And he's like, what the hell was that? Get him out. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you have to really, like, your real game. It's like chess, right? Do like your, like when you start the season off, training camp, that's your game. Like, that's the first game. Like, when game one really starts, that's that game. But training camp game, that first practice, that second practice, you have to do what you do. Because they're judging. So when they pull you in a game, they're expecting what they've been seeing.
In practice.
Yeah, in practice on that floor.
You know, a funny thing there, too, is it's the radar. Some guys are on it, and all eyes are on them. And some guys, they're off the radar a bit, or they're not as, big a dot on that radar. But the point is, when you're there, you're going to get recognized at some point. When they call your number, You gotta be ready.
Yeah, it's gotta be ready.
So is that where you guys are coming in already? Like, we put in all this work in, we spent all this time in the gym, no matter if it's Memphis or LA or Florida, wherever, but we're gonna be ready for that moment.
Yeah, for sure.
Even if it's 5 minutes.
Right.
You gotta be ready to take advantage of the opportunity. If it's like 30 seconds, you gotta make sure you make the most of that, because you never know the opportunity. That window is so short, you gotta take advantage of it.
Right. In the window that you're in right now, I mean, probably, are you ever gonna be examined as much as a basketball player?
Is it weird
to think like that?
Yeah. The way they investigate and stuff, like, I think that's just crazy.
I personally, just for me, just being a veteran, going through that process, I always ask the question, what's the point? And somebody's like, well, I'm investing millions, you know, I'm investing millions to this talent. I need to know everything about him. Like, I need to know what his parents is like, who is his friends is like. That doesn't even make any sense. Like that doesn't make any sense. Like, oh, his parent is this and this and that. The fuck does that have to do with the actual kid? Right. That kid is about to get $3 million. Whatever he was going to do ain't the same no more. That's a whole different kid now. Yeah. Like, oh, he stole like some chips from the store. Well, he ain't got to steal no more now, does he? $3 million. He don't have to steal no more. Now,
you
like,
homes,
like, that's what I'm saying. It's like it just doesn't make sense. Like, they put so much emphasis on young kids. Like, young kids supposed to do young kid stuff. Like, oh, he was out at the bar in college and got drunk and what the hell does they do at that age? That's what they do at that age. Like, I'm not gonna judge you until you're like 24, 25.
Yeah.
You know, 18, 19, 20, that's young kid. You're supposed to do young kid stuff. Like I don't know why they put so much emphasis on what your background is at that age. It's so meaningless to me. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, it's...
Okay, so the emphasis should be on what?
Does he want to play? Does he want to get better? Does he want to be the best? Like, if I give this kid $3 million, $5 million, $7 million, is he going to want to get to that $20 million? Is he going to want to get to the $50 million? Or is $3 million just enough for him? Like, you know, that's my question. Like, that would be my question if I'm a general manager. Hey, I'm giving you $70 million in 4 years, what should I be giving you? Like, should you be a max player? You going to be average? Like, I need to know, like, what is, like, what are you going to turn into? Mm. You know what I mean? That's like, it's an investment, right? Mm. Right? That's right. I want to know, like, okay, I'm investing this $7 million into you. Are you trying to triple this? If you're trying to triple this, let's go. But if this is cool, yeah, I'm good, you know, take care of my family, buy my family house. Like, I don't know about this one. And I mean, he's going to get this money and give up on me.
Yeah.
Versus, oh, no, he won't that max deal. Okay, cool. I can work with that player. Because I know I don't have to worry about it. I know he's going to be in that gym preparing, getting better, trying to get to this level.
Would you guys add anything to that?
No, yeah, for sure. I think, you know, everybody wants to be the, some people say they want to be the best, but then you really look at how they working. They ain't really trying to be the best. They kind of want to be with that, in that lifestyle. Once they get in that lifestyle, it's kind of hard to get them out. Like, L.A., I'm kind of glad we're not in L.A. because of how much going on and everything. We out in Memphis. We just kind of, we working out in the morning. Right. We go straight to the second workout. Then we got the third workout. So we kind of just real focused. We kind of just, because we, like you said, we're trying to get to that max deal. Everybody mm-hmm. gets you draft it. You get the kind of, the set salary, what it is. Like, it's set already for mm-hmm. rookies and all that. So we trying to work to that second contract. I feel like being in Memphis, it kind of helps kind of just keep your mind on a straight path and just kind of stay focused with all that.
Yeah, you guys are in that grind mode now. We know as Gil that just when you get drafted and you make it, you're just getting started. Right. And that rookie deal, it's nice, but that's just the entry point. You want the big deal, the longer term contract.
Nobody ever wants to talk about it, how I say it, but that's the reality of it. You know what I mean? It's like, you made it to the NBA, now what? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's that now what? You're here, you're part of the roster, here's your jersey, here's your team picture, now what? You know what I mean? It's like, you know, that's what I said. So if I'm a general manager and I'm an owner, like I want players that want me to write checks. I want to write checks. So that means if I'm writing these big checks, that means you're doing big things. You know, that's just how it is. Like I want to write you $200 million checks. Like, yes. That means it's here. You just got to put the work in.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? And I think sometimes, like you said, you get the it's the lifestyle. You got to remember, you have so much time. No. You have so much time to basically just not get in trouble. Right. You know, so that's why I said it's like to be the best, you still got to sacrifice. You got to sacrifice, you know, two out of the five girls that hit you, like what you do in a day, you like, you know what I mean? I ain't saying, all five, just two of them. You know, I got to work out right now. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's just from there, you have an in-season schedule. You got to build your in-season schedule on how to get better during the season, because that's a key to, like, really, like, everybody in the summer, work out three times, everybody, same shit. Everybody doing the same thing, working out three summers, trainers. It's the season where you gain on people, like getting up those same amount of shots during the season, like before practice, after practice, late nights, taking a cab instead of the first bus, after home game, staying in the gym, getting more shots. Like, you have to figure out how to get better, how to catch people. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, you know, if you're fifth in rotation, you know, you're trying to be fourth. You're trying to be third. So by the time that end of the season, you done caught two spots. And then in the summer, all right, you know, we're all doing the same thing. Next season, caught you again. You know, third season, I'm the number one man.
When did that, like, kind of, like, click for you? Like, what year were you like, I know I caught this player.
So, like, I'll say my first year, like, the first part of the season, like, you know, it was more like depressed, you know, like not playing for the first time, thinking I'm not good enough. And then, you know, I'm always giving credit. Mark Jackson, he just worked with me, man. That's
Big, like, Mark Jackson.
Yeah, Big Mark Jackson. And from Philly. He was saying, look, what you looking at, that's not the NBA, bro. He said, and he told me a story. He said, listen, I set the bench the whole season. I played 25 games, the last 25 games of the season, and I signed a contract for $25 million. And I'm sitting here like, serious? He's like, yeah. He said, yes. He said, listen, be ready when they call you. Like, all this depressed stuff, no, we're going to work. And he was hurt at the time. Waking up at 6 o'clock, 5:30 in the morning. We have practice at 11. We're going to the gym, getting shots up, me and him playing one-on-one. And he's teaching me how to be a real pro. You know what I mean? Like, you know, veterans, you know, most of the vets back then, they don't want you to steal a position. You know, so they ain't telling you, but since, you know, he's the big man, I'm going to go. And he said, just listen, this is how you work, you know, weightlifting and getting there early, trying to figure out how to eat. And, you know, from there, just watching and learning. Oh, I hear stories of Kobe. Let me go and see what Kobe does before the game. You know what I mean? And you just, okay, let me see what Ray Allen's doing before the game. And you start just picking and see what the elite is doing. You got your team, but you want to try to see what the elite is doing, because they don't share their secrets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They don't share their secrets. So you have to find a way to see what these guys are doing. So from there, now it's like, all right, I need to come up with my own game plan, you know, start, you know, preparing, you know, okay, the first bus comes here, you know, because at first, come on the first bus, you know, then it's like trying to get your shots out and trying to get your rhythm. Everybody's shooting. So then I start taking a cab.
You guys would take an Uber.
Yeah, Uber. You know, you get Uber to the game. You know what I mean? You know, you play at the first bus at 5:30, you Uber in there at 3. Now you done got all your shots in, you done did your whole, so you don't interfere with no one. You know what I mean? You have to figure out how to just, you know, because that's why I said, when people are like, oh man, he's going through a rookie slump. There ain't no such thing. The slump is this. You've been taking 500, 600 shots every day in the summer, right? And then during the season, you know, you play back-to-back, then you have a day off, you take the day off, and then a back-to-back, right? Instead of getting those 3,000 shots up, you probably got 500. You know what I mean? So your shot is not exactly where it is. Yeah. And then that's what messes with your head. You You know what I mean? Oh man, I'm going through a little slump, and then from there, but now you got to put in the work that you put in. Yeah. You know what I mean? Trying to figure out how to keep your same routine during that season.
That's that now what thing that you're talking about is just because you got a schedule, you got games, you're traveling, all that, cool, but you still got to get your time in as a hooper and stay sharp. And then now what? Then now what do I do? And I think what you're saying, Gil, is you can follow that routine and that's cookie cutter for everybody, but you guys don't want to be cookie cutter players. Yeah. You want to follow that pattern. So you got to look at things like little cracks I can get into or advantages I can take, and it'll make me a better player, but also give me more time. Yeah. That's really what you did.
Because, you know, at that level, they're expecting you to be professional and put your own skill in. Like, you really think Houston was having practice to work on plays James Harden was doing? No. You really think they spent an hour and a half in practice to run a whole offense that's like, like, no, 10 minutes work on the other person's stuff and make sure y'all getting y'all shots up. That's basically what practice looks like. You know, so you got to really, like, be disciplined, you know, in your own skill level. You know, just the most important thing is trying to get better. You know what I mean? I never took days off. Like, there was no point. Like, I mean, I'm not going to go, like, if it's a day off, I'm not going to go as hard, but I'm going to go into a gym, get some free throws in, work some ball handling, you know, just, you know, do the old mic and drill, you know, 500 of those, you know, but I'm not going to take a full day off.
Yeah.
You know, not while somebody else is playing tomorrow.
Yeah. Nah,
you know what I mean? Or playing today, I'm, you know.
What you just said, their skill set. What you guys have is your own. You guys are together. We said you're bonded by your time working together, but you have your own unique skill set. Gil and I talked about what he saw in you both. So we'll start, I guess we'll start with DJ. You said one-on-one player, he'll do very well. And that's really what it is. You have a position that you're labeled with, but your identity as a player is what you said for him.
See, man, I'm depending on when it's, I might hurt his chances. I might hurt his chances because, you know, like, but because people don't really know who you are, right? And you get put into these workouts and they do one-on-one and two-on-two, you're going to be a problem for these guys. You're going to be a problem because you are a one-on-one player. I can see what you look at the knees, you look at the ankles, you look at the feet position, and that's what makes a great one-on-one player. You know, like the old school, like, look at your hip and like, man. I want to see what's going on right here because you can't move without any of that. So when you play one-on-one, it's going to be some problems for somebody and you're going to move up in the draft. So don't get mad that it's going to be hard for you to get some workouts, like, after, you know, you've been busting a couple of ass. You're going to have to try to get into workouts with the people who's supposed to be lottery to let them know, like, what's happening? Yeah. Like, why don't dodge me? You know what I mean? Yeah, so it's one of those things where you guys both have different, like, you guys are going into this draft and these workout in different situations. And, you know, I was more like you in draft where I'm trying to chase down players. Like, come on now. I don't even know why. Let me go against him real quick. Let me do the one-on-one. Like, you know, like, it was one of those where, you know, I'm sitting here trying to chase workouts. Like, and Jason, you know, he's top five, so he only working out for 4 teams. I'm 17 teams. Like, we used to go back, like, yo, where you going? Hey, man, I got to go to Toronto, bro. Like, I got to go. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, it was a grind. You know, enjoy the process. But the most important thing here is challenging each other. You know what I mean? It's like for you guys to really build, like, your game is ready.
Yeah.
Because you practice together so much, right?
Right.
That means you know what each other can do and can't do.
Mm.
So that means you guys are going to pick on each other the most, which means you guys are going to be sharpening each other's knives. Because now you're going to be pushing to his weak side. You have to now try to figure out how to, you know, like, so you guys are going to challenge each other the most.
Right.
You know, so when you guys go into these workouts, you guys should be really competing. Like, when I was coming in, it was me, Jason Richardson, Troy Murphy, Kenny Satterfield, and Tavares Bell. Like, I don't know if you know T. Bell, but he was probably one of the highest jumpers I ever seen. Like his one, he went to Rhode Island. His one leg, it was, he had rockets in the back of his calves. You know, like he had the rockets in the back of his calves. So like I got Jason Richardson, and they was doing dunk contests and Jason Richardson didn't want no parts. So you got four guys, you got four guards who's in different positions. So me and Kenny Satterfield, we're the one-on-one player. So we're dogging the shit out of Jason Richardson, one-on-one. Like, it was like, I'm like, just put me in, like, I'm trying to, just put me in a workout with him, coach, like, you know what I mean? Just put me in, I just need one workout with him so I can show them my one-on-one skills.
Yeah.
He was more of a gamer. He was more of, you know, 5-on-5. You know, he can take advantage. He can use his athleticism. So that was the first time where I had to process, like, it's not about, like, specialties. So I have to be able to do everything. So that's why I said it was like one of those things where I had to craft a whole game. You know, even if you look at the draft, I was the best one-on-one player in the draft.
Yeah.
You know, but they didn't let me go one-on-one against most people. Like, you know, most of those guards were just dodging me. So I'm sitting there working out with Richard Jefferson, Sean Lampley, you know, Joe Johnson, no point guards.
Yeah.
I never seen Tony Parker in the workout, Jamal Tinsley in the workout, kid named Ryan Lopez. I'd never seen any of those guys in work. They're just dodging the shit out of me.
Well, what you're talking about, chasing workouts. Have you guys been doing that? Because is that your mindset right now? You want to smoke? Like, give me anybody.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Got to, especially when, like, I'm not as, you know what I'm saying, popular or, like, on the draft boards like that. So, like, I got to.
But you know that. You're cool with that. So right. You're like, all right, let's put it on the floor.
Right.
Yeah, I think we're kind of like going back to what he said, like pushing each other every day. You just kind of waiting for the opportunity because, you know, you've been working out all summer. We've been pushing each other the past month and a half, just kind of waiting to people say you're better than that guy. We'll line them up, put them against them, and then they kind of see where the tips may fall.
And where you sit, Q, more in that space of Gil, I think that there's a lot of similarities in that sense of the combo guard definition. To where you can score, you can, you know, you can run an offense, you make decisions.
Now, combo guard is so early 2000s.
I'm bringing it back.
Yeah, it's so early 2000s. Now it's just a guard.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be a guard that can just do everything. Like, you don't want to be limited to, oh, I run the team well, or I do. Nah, I can do everything. Yeah. I can, you know, you can throw me. Obviously, he has success at the two. You can put me at the two. I can be level. You can put me at the one. I can dominate, you know, so I can do it all. You know, right. If you want to go small ball, I can play the three.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like one of those things where you want to be able to do so much that the coach cannot
take you out.
Like, I can't, you know. Hey, you go in. Like, There was a point where when we got John Wall, Kirk Heinrich, and then me. And I'm sitting here like, now I'm on the out, so I'm like, I don't know if I want to come off the bench, so I got to go ahead and try to be the three.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I got to figure out the three position, like, all right, what's in the offense? So I'm learning the offense, trying to figure out, like, so when we went into camp, you know, instead of going at John Wall, like, now I'm Al Thornton. I'm coming for you, boy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? And that's how we started. We started three small guards.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, survive.
I'm trying to think of an example of a guy who's doing that now.
Which one?
That had to, like, Dame is a guy that said, look, just put me anywhere as a guard.
CJ. You have CJ. Of course you have, you know, the whole Boston team. Oh, yeah. They're all 6'5" and under. You know what I mean? It's all 6'5" and under. Miami's team, but you know, it's always about adjusting anyway. Like, that's the most important thing, just adjusting, being able to adjust. Don't be stuck in a position, because it's not a real word, positionless. That's dumb phrase.
That's the current label that you don't like. Combo guard was really 2000,
because it's not positionless. Yeah. Like, Steph Curry's not playing five, okay? He's not playing five, so it's obviously it's not positionless. It's just big man that can play smaller positions, that's all. You know what I mean? But you want to be able to be one of those players that like they keep you on the court no matter what it is. Like I, you know, it's like
I can't take them out.
I can't take them. We go small ball, okay? Small ball. We go big ball, okay? We get, you know, we just going to find a way to keep you on, you know, on a court where you're playing 35, 40 minutes, 48. You know what I mean? Being in shape and just understanding that you know the role so well that they can put you anywhere and you can survive.
What do we call that? Be a hooper. Hooper stay on the floor.
No, I don't know what you call it.
I just said hooper.
Okay.
You use that term a lot too, so I mean, we could say we. Okay, find a new term.
I'm just saying non-hooper saying the word is just
that's not accurate, but all right. So where you guys are now, let's capture this moment. What are your expectations coming into the league?
Really just, like you said, just being yourself, like trying to fit the system that whatever system you go to, just trying to fit in and be the best you.
That's a good place to start. How about you?
Really just try to soak up everything you can. You know, you come in, it's a whole new Lapeus, a whole new game, it's a whole new league, grown men, different coaches, different system. You got to try and learn as much as you can. But I'll just say, like you said, stay true to your game. Mm. Show them what you can do. Don't go out there trying to be something you're not. And just kind of give him reason why he got to put you out there on the court, even though you're a rookie. I said, man, I don't want to take him off the court, even though he's learning everything. So, yeah, just kind of soak up as much knowledge as you can.
It's a grown man's league.
AAU. That's the style.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just so your mind gets readjusted. It's more, the NBA now is more of, it's AAU style versus a college style. Like, you know, like you'll go up and down without calling the play. You know what I mean? You just got to understand how to read and react. You know, so it's more that, you know, you put a team together and say, all right, y'all go out there. Now, yeah, y'all got plays, but for the most part, y'all are sitting here doing this, just reading, reacting, secondary stuff, like, you know, secondary stuff and just understanding, that's what I said, you got to learn each other the most.
Yeah.
Like, understand
like
what,
and stuff
yeah,
like
understanding
that.
What players like to do and what they don't do. So you're not interfering with a post up because you see he's posting up, but this is weak side. So, you know, he's going to want to turn back this way while you're trying to cut. So, you know, oh, I got to hold my cut.
Yeah.
You know.
Wait for him to get to the move.
Yeah, get to his little move, get to his little, you know what I mean? You got to do that. Or, you know, he can't throw nothing in the bucket over there. So, you know, all right, when he gets it in the post, I'm going to run through that play knowing that he's going to take two dribbles and pass it. You know what I mean? So it's like one, two, run through it. Thank you. Easy got shot. It. You know what I mean? So that's why I said you have to read your teammates better than anything.
All right. So let's do this. What changes and what stays the same? Give some advice.
What changes is life. You're rich now. Okay, that changes. You know, that changes a whole nother element. Your friends change, your family change, your girlfriend changes. You know what I mean? That's a whole nother issue. You know? No, seriously, that really does. But
I think they're aware of
but
that.
But the game is the game.
Yeah.
Like, don't ever forget that. Like, the pleasure you have in training and playing, that's never going to change unless you let it change. Mm-hmm. It's just the elements around you that actually changes. You know, you don't have to do the same things you had to do before. You know what I mean? Now you have to think about, like, how you were from middle school to now. Right? Everything you've done got you to this point.
No.
Now you have to figure out how to get here with this new element. You know, that's all it is.
All right, that worked. It's a good answer. All right, so speaking
some
of answers,
white man question. We
got, that's what I'm here for. Turn the tables. We want some answers from him now. So at this moment where you guys
let's
are here,
answers.
Let them ask the questions though. Okay. Let's run some Ask Agent Zero. Pick his brain. What do you got?
What was the hardest thing, like, coming into the league? Like, what was your hardest, like, battle?
Being on your own. You know, being a kid in a world that's all adults, in a sense, where, you know, you got, you know, married men who got girlfriends, men who got kids, you know, this person has, you know, his family with him, and you're just this lone guy trying to figure out how to survive. You know, no one's telling you. You know, there's no one teaching you and showing you how to be a pro, showing you, you know, so you're basically learning it on your own. You know, it's not a place where they're gonna babysit you to be what you are. You just gotta want it. That's why I say it's more of a want thing. Like, I want to be great, so you're gonna put in the time. Other than that, everyone's gonna keep moving.
Right.
So if you're not putting in that work yourself, they're not gonna be force feeding you. You know, so you know, if you come to the gym at, you know, I think they changed a little bit now. They like have the rookies come in at a certain time now and to do all that stuff. But from there, it's just being young and in a world where it's adult. You're supposed to be a professional when, like, I don't know what a professional. I don't know what a professional is. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? I'm just here. You know, I'm just 1 year removed, like a couple months removed from college. You know what I mean? Pulling pranks and shit like that. I'm just overnight, like, oh yeah, I'm an adult now. Like, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Did you also want to know who gave him that work? He said battle.
Like in everybody. It's like everyone's you. Every you know what I mean? Everyone's you, but they're advanced. So they got the tricks, all that stuff. That's what I said. You gotta go in there and you have to learn what to be a pro is. Like you gotta come in there and like what grabs, what holds, what little sneaky things, like you have to try to figure it all out because you're gonna be hit with all of it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So yeah, even though this player, I'm way more talented than this player, I can't do what I do because he's doing something you have to figure all that out.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because you gotta remember, nobody wants you to take it. They're not gonna just, here's my starting position. You can have a little 45 minutes. I'm cool. You know, I'm going here, sit on the bench and just chill and cheer for you. No, that's not going to happen, man. They're going to do everything they can to keep you down. So you gotta understand and play. You got to play the game. It's like it's the game within the game.
Yeah.
Game within the game. Q, what you got?
Is there anything like that you wish you did like earlier on in your career that could have made it like last a little bit longer? Something that you could have changed early?
Understood what injury was, what it meant, what it did. When I got injured, it was, you know, you start processing like, when I broke my arm, I remember like I just took it off and I just started using this, you know what I mean? And, you know, rehab, like nobody want to do no rehab. I want to go out here and get these shots up. You know what I mean? Like I didn't take rehab serious. Because I thought it was meaningless to my skill level. Not realizing, shit, without my knee, I can't do any of this stuff. You know what I mean? And I learned that 3 surgeries later. By the time that happened, got arthritis. Knees locking up. You know what I mean? Like, I wasted so much time trying to avoid working on this so I can keep my position. I'm chasing Kobe Bryant. I'm chasing Steve Nash. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have time to be sitting here doing these little... these little movements, bro. Like, I'm trying to really go out there and ball. Like, they plan, you know, so I'm wasting my time on short-term memory. I mean, short-term stuff versus worrying about the longer picture.
Mm-hmm. That it? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's run through some quick NBA beats real quick, especially you guys, we want to always know what the young culture, the youth, the next wave is watching in the league. So who would you guys say, who's the most valuable guard in the league right now? It does it all, skill set, leadership, production.
I would probably say Luka now, just like watching that game versus the Clippers. He just like things like the last 4 minutes, he was just in control of the whole game. Pat Beverly on his side, like getting to his spot. Like he wasn't even there. Like
talking to him too.
That's what I'm saying. Then like I think he drove, like they helped him. He dropped off the Porzingis and he was just playing like a totally different game than everybody else on the court. So just watching him, just being at such a young age. And just like one of those guys where you got something like I'm trying to, when we get there, that's some guy we're trying to chase.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So like he said, you got to figure out the next time, how do I get better at this so I can, when you play against him, try to take away his moves or whatever. But yeah, that's one guy who kind of just dominates the whole game, just does everything.
Is that the intangible for Luka, his pace? He does a lot of things really well, but
yeah,
really
you know, like it's one of those things that go against like trainer, like go faster, faster, faster. Like technically, just go at the speed you play at. You know what I mean? So what Luka's great at is he plays to his speed. So like if you're faster, he has moves that's gonna make you go where, like, all right, oops, Shooky, go this way, fake. Okay, now you ran. Like, so he plays, that's what I said, he plays everyone different.
I use the athleticism against them.
Yeah, yeah, so it's like, that's what I said, remember I told you yesterday, I will do moves different on both of you guys, because I can't do the same move. Like, a move I try on you, shit, gonna get stopped there. A move I try him, gonna get stopped here. So I have to figure out what moves work there, what moves work here. Like, you know, him with Pat Beverly, keep him by side, he's little, I'm gonna pull up. Versus this next person, he's a little faster, can't keep him on side, so I gotta sit there and try to make him use his speed so I can get my open shots.
So you think, like NBA teams, when you do workouts and you going at your pace, you think they can be like misconceived as like, oh, he not?
Yes. Hmm. And that's the hardest thing about working out, because you have workout players. That means they went to Gonzaga, Duke. You know, those they look great in workouts, but when there's real actual people in front of them, it doesn't work so well. Then you have players who their speed just doesn't eye catching. Like, oh, he looks a little lazy. Doesn't really look like he's going hard. And then you just have guys who are just gamers. Like, something about the lights in people, and like that's where their talent is. So, you know, it's your agent's job to really understand your game, to know how to put you so your ability stands out. If you're playing one-on-one, two-on-two, and you know, you're going through this methodical movements, you know, they're gonna be like, oh, he's lazy, just he doesn't want it. I'm like, no, that's just my speed. That's just I don't know. I can sit here and be the road runner out here, but I don't think that's gonna make me look good. That's you know, because as I said, they don't know what they're for the most part, they don't know what they're looking at. You know what I mean? They don't really know what they're looking at. That's why I don't like the way combines are. You know, because at the end of the day, how many lottery guards did you actually play against this year? Did you play against any?
One.
That's one.
Maybe that.
That's just one. Like, how many lottery guards are there going to be? Four or five.
I'm trying to think who you played against. Boat Knight.
Mm-mm.
Oh, you didn't.
I played against him last year when they played UConn. Yeah, we played against him last year. Davion Mitchell, Baylor.
Baylor, yeah.
Yes, so you played one.
Yeah, one.
And right? you played against Sharif Cooper, right?
No, he didn't play.
Oh, that's right. He played.
That's what I said. So you're going, so like when you go into these drafts, it's like the people that's supposed to be top 13, how many other players do they play that's at their caliber?
No.
That I'm ranking you on. Like I'm ranking you top two, top three pick. But you didn't play against no one that was actually challenging you. So it's like I want to see the cream of the crop actually go against the cream of the crop. Like, so I can really evaluate your actual talent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, you sitting here working out by yourself and all that. That's like, how do I know what he looks like when competition kicks in?
Yeah.
Like, what is he going to look like when he gets fouled two times? Like, I mean, you know, is he going to... You know, he's down, you know, we're going to five, he's down 4-0, and then now he has to do line drills. You know what I mean? And then he goes on a 5-0 run. I would never see that in a workout by myself.
Yeah.
You know, by himself. So it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, it's just one of those things you just gotta get through.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just.
That's what you said. We said cream of the crop, right? And it doesn't matter who it is.
But they don't
is.
Do it.
It's just like
football, and they run in 100-yard dash. And it's like, oh my God, he done dropped three rounds because he did a 4-2. Can he f-ing catch the ball? Like, I don't like, can he catch? I don't know if he can catch the ball. Like, I don't know when they run sprints in football. You know what I mean? So, but that's how they evaluate you. They evaluate you on stuff that has nothing to do with what you actually do.
Yeah, and you said raw, you used that word raw before, and we know that it starts with the physical skills, but the skill set's got to fill in. And I think what we're seeing now, you guys watch, that's the other thing. The last thing we should talk about is this. You guys watching the game now, right? Watching the postseason. So from you guys watching games right now, you're seeing the guys that had all the extra time in school or the polish that they put in, they're succeeding in the postseason.
Yeah, like guys like, I feel like Kawhi and them, like kind of staying, like what do you say, 2-3 years at San Diego State?
Two years,
mm-hmm. Yeah. It seemed like that. I feel like you kind of got a maybe a better understanding of the game and just kind of how to work. Just kind of go through things, just pushing through some things. I feel like going, seeing him, like when he went to Toronto, kind of put this thing on his back, kind of went to a new system, but he still kind of, I don't know, he got a different feel to when you're watching him, like an older player, maybe like even though like one and done, they still are really successful, but they kind of got a different edge to him, I think, and they kind of can kind of carry over to the playoffs for sure.
Yeah, on what he said, it's just been like, as you get older, you get like more confidence. Yeah. And
knowledge.
Yeah, you get more confidence, and I feel like, as a freshman, you go in like you're like green, like you don't know what to expect. But, yeah, and like the older guys who come in, like they done seen a whole lot of stuff, so it's like kind of almost natural. Yeah. Because
it's that fine line. We talked about this before, potential. And potential is great, but when you actually have the experience,
right,
confidence, IQ, putting that all together, you want to be in that window, and that's really where you guys are right now.
Just enjoy the process. Mm. You know what I mean? Enjoy all of it, knowing that, you know, the goal, there's a goal that you want to get to, and no matter how you start, it's how you finish. You know what I mean? And always keep that in sight, you know. like, I played 120 games and signed for, like, $65 million. Like, but those first 40 games, I'm thinking I'm done. It's the end of my career. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm done. I'm a second round pick. Oh man, I'm about to be. They didn't have no G League then. I'm about to be overseas playing at Venice Beach or something. You know what I mean? And then, you know, it clicks. Yeah. You know, it clicks. So, you know, just stay true to your work ethic, and you know that's going to take you as far as you want to go.
There it is. Put it all together, and just like Gil just said, stay true to your identity as a player. You know, and if you do that, good things happen. Well, here we go. For DJ Stewart, for Quentin Grimes, that's Gilbert Arenas. I'm Mike Botticello. This has been No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. Remember, you can catch us every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Fubo Sports Network, and we'll see you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.